Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And Anne Courtney.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. Today, August 21st, 2020, we will unlock on the profound spiritual mystery behind the queenship of Mary. In this hour of grace, where mercy triumphs over justice, let us immerse ourselves completely in the Lord's mercy, adoring, glorifying, invoking his omnipotence for the whole world, and particularly for poor sinners. We will meditate on the Queen of Mercy, the most glorious Mother of God. Then we shall pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This reflection is dedicated to the Queen of Mercy, the most glorious Mother of God. She, more than any other, was and continues to be a perfect instrument of the mercy of God. She brought forth mercy himself into this world by her fiat, her yes at the Annunciation. She suffered greatly as she watched her son suffer such brutality and offered her motherly love to console his heart and to win much grace in the world through her sacrifice. She was taken body and soul into heaven and given the crown of glory by her Son, so that from her glorious throne in heaven she may continue to lavish mercy on the world. Seek her prayers, trust in her intercession, consecrate yourself to her motherly love, to her motherly care, and know of her perfect love for you. She will never abandon her children, and therefore she will never abandon you. Let us pray. Dearest Mother, my Queen, I love you. We love you with a profound love, and we desire to consecrate ourselves to your Immaculate Heart. Your heart, dear Mother, is a heart overflowing with the mercy of your Son. He has given you all grace and entrusted you with a dispensation of this grace upon the world. May we never doubt your maternal care and intercession. We love you, dear Mother. We give ourselves entirely to you so that you may bring us to your Son, Jesus. Mother Mary, our Queen, pray for us. Jesus, we trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Lovely. And now we will delve into a better understanding of this great holy feast on August 22nd, the Queenship of Mary. One of the most beautiful and universal titles of the Blessed Virgin Mary is her title as Queen. On August 22nd, we celebrate the Feast of the Queenship of Mary, the octave day of the Feast of her Assumption, which is August 15th. What does this mean, and what is the Church tradition on this doctrine of the Catholic faith? No one treats Mary like a queen more than Catholics. We honor her as our royal mother in numerous ways. We sing the famous Hail Holy Queen enthroned above. When we pray the Rosary, we honor Mary as the crowned queen in the fifth glorious mystery. All over the world, statues and paintings express the Blessed Mother's royal office by portraying her with a crown on her head. We even have a special feast day dedicated specifically to celebrate her queenship over heaven and earth, August 22nd. Yet all this royal attention given to the Mother of Jesus might sound scandalous to some non-Catholic ears. After all, isn't calling Mary queen going a little too far? The Bible doesn't mention anything about there being a queen in God's kingdom. Paying homage to Mary as some type of royal mother seems to detract from the absolute kingship of Jesus Christ, which belongs to him alone. And besides, how could Mary be a queen since she is not the wife of the King Jesus, but only his mother? These are good questions, and they deserve good answers. It is true that Christians throughout the centuries have honored Mary as some type of royal mother, from early church fathers such as St. Jerome, St. Augustine, and St. Ephrem, to modern teachings from Vatican II, Pope St. John Paul II, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Christians throughout the ages have recognized Mary's queenship. But where did this idea come from? Where does Scripture teach that Mary should be honored as queen? There is one biblical theme which sheds light on these issues and serves as a key for unlocking the mystery of Mary's queenship. This theme is the Old Testament tradition of the Queen Mother in the Davidic kingdom. Mothers were singled out for special treatment by their sons, especially in the royal household of the kingdom of Judah. Among all the ladies in the kingdom, there was no one more honored than the king's mother. Even the king's wife could not compete with the prestigious role of the mother. What made the mother of the king so special? In the Davidic monarchy, as well as in other ancient kingdoms in the Near East, the king's mother held the most important office in his royal court. She influenced political, economic, and liturgical affairs in the kingdom, and she played a key part in the process of dynastic succession. What is most striking, however, is the fact that she even ruled as queen. It was not the king's wife who held the queenship, but his mother. The great preeminence of the king's mother may seem odd from our modern Western perspective. Today, we generally think of a queen as being the wife of a king. However, when we consider the fact that most ancient Near Eastern kings practiced polygamy and had large harems, the idea of a queen mother makes a lot of sense. Think of King Solomon, who had 700 wives in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. Imagine the chaos in the royal court if all 700 wives were awarded the queenship. But since each king had only one mother, one can see the practical wisdom in bestowing the queenship upon her. This background is crucial for understanding what the Bible teaches about Mary's queenship. If we search the scriptures for a royal woman like the queens in modern Western monarchies, we won't find her. Yet once we grasp the biblical concept of the Queen Mother, Mary's royal office will jump off the pages of the New Testament and call us to a profound relationship with our queenly mother in the kingdom of Jesus. In the Davidic kingdom, when a new king assumed the throne, his mother was given the special title Gebera, which in Hebrew means great lady or queen. As queen mother, she possessed the second most powerful position in the kingdom, second only to the king himself. In ancient Israel, the queen mother was no mere figurehead. Rather, she held an actual office with real authority in the kingdom. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah described how she shared in the king's rule over the people and even possessed a throne and a crown of her own, symbolic of her royal power. As in the Old Testament, so in the New, Luke's Gospel has much to say about Mary's royal office. In fact, in the scene of the Annunciation, Luke shows us that Mary was given the vocation to be the Queen Mother in the kingdom of Jesus. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, she was told she would become the mother of a royal son who would restore the Davidic kingdom. This child would be the fulfillment of many prophecies which foretold how the Messiah would establish God's kingdom and reign forever. That's from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Also Psalms chapter 2, 72 and 89. First, the angel Gabriel is said to appear to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David. And that's in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 27. Then the angel told Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That's from Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 33. If an ancient Jew heard of a woman in the house of David giving birth to a new Davidic king, he would easily conclude that she was a queen mother. And that's exactly the vocation to which Mary is being called at the Annunciation. She is the queen mother of the one who will sit on the throne of his father, David, and of whose kingdom there will be no end. We must emphasize, however, that in honoring Mary as Queen Mother, we do not take anything away from Christ. In fact, understanding Mary as Queen Mother emphasizes how she is completely subordinate to Christ. Just as the Queen Mother's royal office was based entirely on her son's kingship, so too Mary's exalted position in the kingdom depends entirely on her son, Jesus. In this light, Mary's queenship in no way diminishes Christ's kingship, but rests completely on it. In fact, we exalt Jesus even more by honoring her as queen, because in doing so we praise him for the great work he has done in her and through her queenship. As Vatican II taught, Mary's function as mother of men in no way obscures or diminishes this unique mediation of Christ, but rather shows its power. And that's from Lumen Gentium 60, also the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 970. Well, what happened when Mary entered heaven? The queenship of Mary is very closely associated with the dogma of her assumption into heaven. Catholic tradition holds that once Mary, the Mother of God, was assumed into heaven, body and soul, at the end of her earthly life, she was then crowned as queen of both heaven and earth to reign alongside her son, the king. This is why the two events in Mary's life are side by side in the glorious mysteries of the Holy Rosary. Pope St. John Paul II, in his apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, writes of this glorious mystery of her coronation, quote, "Christ was raised in glory to the right hand of the Father, while Mary herself would be raised to that same glory in the Assumption, enjoying beforehand, by a unique privilege, the destiny reserved for all the just at the resurrection of the dead. Crowned in glory as she appears in the last glorious mystery, Mary shines forth as queen of the angels and saints, the anticipation and the supreme realization of the eschatological state of the church. Here we see that after the end of Mary's earthly life, she was exalted even above the angels in heaven, having a unique privilege and place as the mother of Jesus Christ, who is both fully God and fully man. Mary's glory in heaven is a picture or foreshadowing for all Christians of the similar heavenly glory meant for those who share in her son's passion, death, and resurrection. She received first and in the most perfect way, that which is destined for all of us. What is the biblical basis of Mary's royalty? The doctrine of the queenship of Mary is based in part on a vision given to St. John the Apostle, the disciple given to the care of Mary after our Lord's death, that he writes about in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. That text reads, quote, "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child, she cried, traveling in birth, and was in pain to be delivered, And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, that when she should be delivered, he might devour her son. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her son was taken up to God and to his throne. The woman in this passage is Mary, and the child is her son, Jesus Christ. Notice that in this passage, Mary is wearing a crown of 12 stars, which is representative of the 12 tribes of Israel, her ancestry in Israel's history. It was the mother of the king who reigned as queen, and the 12 apostles, the foundation of the church, who regarded her as mother. This biblical evidence, combined with other biblical evidence of Mary's special place in God's plan of salvation, Mary as the Ark of the Covenant, Mary as the New Eve, Mary as the mother of the church. These are all foundational to the understanding of her coronation as Queen of Heaven and the Universe in church tradition. Mary's queenship in church tradition. Mary is the mother of the church because she was the mother of Jesus Christ, who is God. This profound familial relationship is not somehow dissolved or lessened in significance after Mary's death, but instead is exalted. Just as Jesus Christ is exalted in heaven as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Mary is similarly exalted in heaven as Queen Mother. In this life, Mary shared in the passion of Christ, and in heaven she shares in the glory of Christ. This privilege of reigning with Christ is not meant for Mary alone, but she is our example in that all of us are intended to reign with Jesus in heaven too. Mary has this special exalted place as mother of Jesus and mother of the church, who helps the faithful journey to her son. There is a long tradition among the church fathers on the queenship of Mary. Saint Ephrem from the 4th century referred to Mary as Lady and Queen. Saint John Damascene from the 7th century spoke beautifully of Mary in a sermon, quote, "We too approach thee today, O Queen. And again I say, O Queen, O Virgin Mother of God, staying our souls with our trust in thee as with a strong anchor, lifting up mind, soul, and body, and all ourselves to thee, rejoicing in psalms and hymns and spiritual canticles. We reach through thee one who is beyond our reach on account of his majesty. If, as the divine word made flesh taught us, honor shown to servants is honor shown to our common Lord, how can honor shown to thee, his mother, be slighted? How is it not most desirable? Art thou not honored as the very breath of life? Thus shall we best show our service to our Lord himself. Watch over us, O Queen, the dwelling place of our Lord. Lead and govern all our ways as thou wilt. Save us from our sins. Lead us into the calm harbor of the divine will. Make us worthy of future happiness through the sweet and face-to-face vision of the Word made flesh through thee. With him, glory, praise, power, and majesty be to the Father and to the Holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The coronation of the Virgin Mary, the lessons from Scripture and the popes. The Marian hymns we know and love, such as Hail Holy Queen and Hail Queen of Heaven, were composed in the 11th to 13th centuries and extol her queenship, as well as the prayers of the Dominican Rosary and the Franciscan Crown. Mary's Litany, known as the Litany of Loretto, composed in the Middle Ages, also extols her queenship. And these are excerpts from that litany. Queen of Angels, pray for us. Queen of Patriarchs, pray for us. Queen of Prophets, pray for us. Queen of Apostles, pray for us. Queen of Martyrs, pray for us. Queen of Confessors, pray for us. Queen of Virgins, pray for us. Queen of All Saints, pray for us. Queen conceived without original sin, pray for us. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, pray for us. Queen of Peace, pray for us.
Amen. Thank you, Anne. Following are the lessons from the popes on the queenship of Mary. As Anne said earlier, the queenship of Mary is closely related to the dogma of the Assumption. It was immediately after her Assumption into heaven that the crowning took place. The Assumption was declared dogma by Pope Pius XII in 1950. Not surprisingly, only 4 years later, in 1954, Pope Pius XII gave Mary the title Queen of Heaven in his encyclical Ad Coeli Reginam on proclaiming the queenship of Mary, and instituted her feast day under this title to take place each year on August 22nd. In this document, he states, quote, Jesus is King throughout all eternity, by nature and by right of conquest. Through him, with him, and subordinate to him, Mary is Queen by grace, by divine relationship, by right of conquest, and by singular choice of the Father. And her kingdom is as vast as that of her Son and God, since nothing is excluded from her dominion. End quote. The documents of the Second Vatican Council reaffirm this doctrine. Lumen Gentium, Dogmatic Constitution of the Church, promulgated by Pope Paul VI in 1964, states, quote, let the entire body of the faithful pour forth persevering prayer to the Mother of God and Mother of Men. Let them implore that she who aided the beginnings of the Church by her prayers may now, exalted as she is in heaven above, all the saints and angels, intercede with her Son in the fellowship of all the saints. May she do so until all the peoples of the human family, whether they are honored with the name of Christian or whether they still do not know their Savior, are happily gathered together in peace and harmony into the one people of God, for the glory of the most holy and undivided Trinity. End quote. So we see that the doctrine of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth was believed by the faithful all along in church tradition, with its roots in sacred scripture, its lauding in the church fathers and in the songs and praises of the Middle Ages, and its promulgation by modern popes and church councils. Before we pray the novena to the queenship of Mary, let us listen to and contemplate on the words of St. Amadeus of Lausanne, bishop on his thoughts of the Queen of the world and of peace. Observe how fitting it was that even before her Assumption, the name of Mary shone forth wondrously throughout the world. Her fame spread everywhere, even before she was raised above the heavens in her magnificence. Because of the honor due her Son, it was indeed fitting for the Virgin Mother to have first ruled upon earth and then be raised up to heaven in glory. It was fitting that her fame be spread in this world below, so that she might enter the heights of heaven on overwhelming blessedness. Just as she was born from virtue to virtue by the Spirit of the Lord, she was transported from earthly renown to heavenly brightness. So it was that she began to taste the fruits of her future reign while still in the flesh. At one moment she withdrew to God in ecstasy, and at the next she would bend down to her neighbors with indescribable love. In heaven, angels served her, while here on earth she was venerated by the service of men. Gabriel and the angels waited upon her in heaven. The Virgin John, rejoicing that the Virgin Mother was entrusted to him at the cross, cared for her with the other apostles here below. The angels rejoiced to see their queen. The apostles rejoiced to see their lady, and both obeyed her with loving devotion. Dwelling in the loftiest citadel of virtue, like a sea of divine grace or an unfathomable source of love that has everywhere overflowed its banks, she poured forth her bountiful waters on trusting and thirsting souls. Able to preserve both flesh and spirit from death, she bestowed health-giving salve on bodies and souls. Has anyone ever come away from her troubled or saddened or ignorant of the heavenly mysteries? Who has not returned to everyday life gladdened and joyful because his request had been granted by the Mother of God? She is a bride, so gentle and affectionate, and the mother of the only true bridegroom. In her abundant goodness, she has channeled the spring of reason's garden, the well of living, and life-giving waters that pour forth in a rushing stream from divine Lebanon and flow down from Mount Zion until they surround the shores of every far-flung nation. With divine assistance, she has redirected these waters and made them into streams of peace and pools of grace. Therefore, when the Virgin of Virgins was led forth by God and her Son, the King of Kings, amid the company of exalting angels and rejoicing archangels, with the heavens ringing with praise, the prophecy of the psalmist was fulfilled, in which he said to the Lord, "At your right hand stands the Queen, clothed in gold of Ophir." Novena to the Queenship of Mary. Let us pray. Come, let us adore Christ the King, who has crowned his Mary, his mother, as Queen of the universe. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Virgin Mary, most noble Queen of the world, plead for peace and salvation in our behalf. For you have brought forth Christ the Lord, the Savior of us all. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Hail, Mother of Christ, companion in his sufferings, Queen of the whole world. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
You are kind and lovable in your splendor, Holy Mother of God. Show me your face. Let your words sound in my ears, for your voice is sweet and your face is beautiful. Turn to us in your beauty and loveliness. Come forth in majesty and reign. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed, because he who is mighty has done great things for me. The Virgin Mary has been raised to the heavens.
She reigns with Christ forever.
Let us pray. Grant, we beg of you, O Lord, that we who celebrate the feast day of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Queen, may merit under her loving protection to attain peace on this earth and glory in heaven, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
My Queen, my Mother, remember thine own. Keep me, guard me as thy property and possession. Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We will now play the Salve Regina, which is sung by a virtual choir of Carmelites.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible. Father Charles Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hoquesson, Delaware. AJ Loporto, who provided the music for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And all the members of the Legion of Mary Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. for our Divine Mercy Chaplet program. And tonight, as usual, we have the 54-day Rosary Novena. Tonight at 7, please listen to us every day until October 7th at 7 p.m. May our Queen guide us and lead us into her secure hands.
Amen. Amen. Happy feast day of the Queenship of Mary tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you, Anne.
Thank you.